Pagbati sa inyo mga kapatid sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo, ipagpapatuloy natin ang pag-aaral natin sa serye ng Christian Holiness sa ating Sunday School at ang pinag-uusapan na natin ngayon ay sa yugto ng Standards of Holiness. At dito kung babalik-aralan natin kung bakit napakahalaga ng standard ay ang dahilan ay sapagkat kung walang standard ay hindi natin alam kung ano ang kasalanan, kung ano ang kabanalan. And the next question, what is that standard? That standard is God Himself being holy. And God said, you must be holy as I the Lord your God am holy. Totoo yan sa lumang tipan at sa bagong tipan. Pero ano ang kabanalan ng Diyos? Hindi tayo pwedeng magkanya-kanya kung ano ang pagiging banal ng Diyos. At binigyan tayo ng mga mahalaga at definidong mga pamantayan na mapagkukunan natin ng tamang saloobin at mga pag-uugali ng kabanalang Kristiyano. So we have the standards of holiness, and as I've said, they are not general or vague, they are very specific. We are targeting something when we speak of being holy as believers. Inuna na natin ang the Ten Commandments o the Decalogue. This is a standard that applies to all mankind, and of course, in a special way to all believers, both of Old Testament and New Testament. But after this, the next standards are standards that are New Testament by nature, and they are standards that are applicable to believers in Jesus Christ. Ang tinitingnan natin ngayon ay the kingdom of Christ. Susundan natin ito ng the example of Jesus at tatapusin natin ng the fruit of the Spirit. So having discussed in several lectures the Ten Commandments, we began last week the consideration of the kingdom of Christ. So sa pag-aaral natin ang kaharian ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo, our main thesis is that Christ is now a ruling king from the time of His resurrection. Kaya tandaan natin ang mga maling pag-unawa ng kaharian na dapat nating tanggalin sa ating isip ay the idea that it is territorial. It was territorial in the Old Testament with Israel, but that is no longer the case with Jesus Christ. Also, it is not individual. Hindi ito yung paghahari ni Jesus sa ating kalooban, sa ating puso. Totoo yan sa isang mananampalataya, pero hindi iyon ang kaharian, kundi bunga iyon ng kaharian ni Jesus Kristo. At tanggalin din natin ang isang popular na katuruan sa evangelicals, the kingdom of Christ is not a millennial kingdom na maghahari siya sa Jerusalem, sa mundo, at sa loob ng 1,000 taon bilang pagtupad sa mga pangako niya sa Israel. What the kingdom is, in the Old Testament, it pertained to Israel as the kingdom of Yahweh, while the whole creation remained under the ownership of God, yet in terms of who were His subjects, the willing subjects to His rule, they were the Israelites and the only nation which was the kingdom of Yahweh in the Old Testament was Israel, but within Israel or in Israel's territory of kings, it was with David that God made a covenant. So God's covenant with David is that out of his descendants, mula sa kanyang angkan, ay may darating na siyang magtatayo ng kaharian na hindi na mabubuwag. Saan ito nagkaroon ng katuparan? Nakita natin noong nakaraang linggo, it was fulfilled at the resurrection of Jesus. Not that He sat in a literal throne in Jerusalem to become an earthly king, but rather He is now king sitting on the throne of His father David in a mediatorial way, saving people from their sins. That is why we call it a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that He exercises in terms of the work of the Holy Spirit. So, sino ang nasa loob ng kaharian ni Jesucristo? Believers in Christ are the subjects of the kingdom. At nakita natin that there are two aspects to the kingdom of Christ. There is the inauguration aspect sa kanyang unang pagparito pa lang, sa kanyang pagkabuhay na muli ay nagkaroon na siya ng kaharian, nagahari na siya, umiiral na ang kanyang pamamahala, kaya't may nagsimula na ng mga pagpapalat, pananagutan ng kaharian at ating isinusulong ang kaharian sa mundong ito na ayaw pang kumilala sa kanyang kaharian. Pero merong consummation aspect. Ang kalubusan nito ay magaganap sa ikalawang pagparito niya na kung saan lahat na ng kasalanan, lahat ng kabilang sa nakulog na sangnilikha ay mawawala upang ang umiral na lamang ay ang paghahari ni Jesucristo. So this explains why there is a past and present aspect to the kingdom, nandito na, and there is a future aspect, the not yet. So there is the already now and the not yet of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we begin today by looking at the standards of the kingdom. Kung namamahala na si Jesucristo, paano natin ipinapakita na siya nga ay namamahala sa atin, sa anong mga pamantayan ito? Well, because we are talking here of standards that pertain to the new covenant in the New Testament, then this is not applicable to all, since not all belong to the kingdom. Unbelievers need regeneration in order for them to be long to the kingdom and in order for the kingdom standards to apply to them. Maliwanag ang sinabing ito ng ating Panginoon kay Nicodemus, inyong matatandaan ang popular na encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, who was one of the rulers of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. At nung sinasabi ni Nicodemus ang patungkol sa mga himala ni Jesucristo, ang sinabi sa kanya ni Jesus, in reply, Jesus has declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then he repeats in verse 5, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Kaya merong kinakailangang karanasan ng being born again to see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God. That is not talking of heaven, that is not talking of dying and going to heaven. It is talking about being under the rule of Jesus Christ. Kaya hindi ito para sa lahat, kundi doon lamang sa mga nakaranas na ng regeneration o kapanganakan na muli. So only believers live by kingdom rules. This is clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, where Paul addresses the Thessalonian believers with this exhortation, and this can apply to all believers: walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Kaya may paglakad o pamumuhay na naangkop sa pagkakatawag sa atin sa kanyang kaharian. Kaya't ang mahalagang makita natin dito ay anong standards ang magagamit natin, mag-umpisa tayo sa Sermon on the Mount. So why is this a kingdom standard? Sa paghahanda pa lang ng Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, remember this is the first kingdom discourse in Matthew. There are five discourses in Matthew, and Matthew arranged his gospel around these five discourses, all about the kingdom. And the first of this is what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is about membership in the kingdom. At dyan ay makikita natin na bago pa man ipinangaral ni Jesus ang Sermon on the Mount, ay inihahanda na niya na ito ay patungkol sa kanyang kaharian. So just before Matthew 5, we have in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Pinapatunayan niya na siya ang Mesiyas at siya ang magdadala ng kaharian, at ngayon ibinigay niya ang pagtuturo ng Sermon on the Mount para sabihin sino ba at anong uri ang mga nagpapasakop sa kanyang kaharian. Now, many wrongly think that Jesus is replacing the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue with His own commandments. Yan ang pag-interpret nila ng Sermon on the Mount. Tanggal na ang Ten Commandments, which they think are for the Jews, and now Jesus is giving His own set of commandments, well, we need to observe very carefully that the contrast Jesus is making is between what you have heard as against to what I say to you. Napakahalaga niyan. Sapagkat kung ang layunin ni Jesus ay tanggalin ang 10 utos na nasa lumang tipan, he would have not said, you have heard. He would have made the contrast between I say to you and what is written. That is the normal formula of reference to the Old Testament, to what is written in the Old Testament is to say it is written. But the fact that he is saying you have heard, it means that this is what the ordinary people were hearing as they had their teaching coming from the synagogue. So the contrast here is between the authority of Jesus, I say to you, and the traditions of the legalists, what they are hearing. So this is not setting aside the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments remain binding as we maintained in our study of the Decalogue. So paano natin uunawain itong Sermon on the Mount? Jesus himself is making that contrast. It is not the contrast between his laws versus the laws of the Decalogue. It is a contrast between his righteousness and the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He tells us in Matthew 5:20, "For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Ibig sabihin ay ito ang katuwiran na nasa kanyang kaharian kung siya ang namamahala sa buhay ng isang tao laban sa o kontra sa katuwiran na batay lamang sa legalismo ng mga eskriba at mga Fariseo. Siya mismo ang nagsabi na ito ang kanyang ikinikontra, hindi ang 10 utos laban sa kanyang sariling mga pag-uutos. So it's legal righteousness versus kingdom righteousness. And another question is that the hearers themselves concluded that at the end of the sermon, this is what was impressed on them. Sabi nila, "And it happened when Jesus has completed these words that the crowds were astonished at his doctrine, for he was teaching them as one who has authority and not like their scribes and Pharisees." So Jesus made the contrast and the hearers absorbed that impression na ang pinagsasalungat ni Jesus ay ang kanyang autoridad laban sa pagtuturo ng mga eskriba at mga Fariseo na kanilang naririnig sa mga sinagoga noong panahong iyon. Kaya natin tingnan ang Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is portraying the life lived by those under his rule. Kaya ito ang isa sa mga pamantayan kung tayo ay pinamamahalaan ni Jesucristo, pagsunod sa mga karakter ng mga talagang nagpapasakop sa kanyang pamamahala. And one of those that gives a very clear portrayal of such a life is the Sermon on the Mount. Simulan natin sa pinakaumpisa ng Sermon on the Mount, ang tinatawag na Beatitudes, yung nagsisimula sa Blessed Are. Now, gusto ko munang ipaliwanag, this is not to be equated with happy. Some modern versions use that word happy instead of blessed. Happy are those. And this is a rather inaccurate translation. There is something of happiness in it as a result or offshoot, but that is not the essence of the word that Jesus used here. So let us maintain the word blessed. The sense of the word is being favored. Ipinapaboran ng Diyos, hindi dahil sa masaya siya. It is not talking about one's emotional state. Rather, it is one standing as divinely graced. Unfortunately, we do not usually use the word grace in verb form. Usually, we understand it as noun, but this is what the word really means. People who have received the grace of God, the favor of God. The same word is used, at least the same root word is used by Mary in the Magnificat when she said, For he, God, has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. So Mary is not talking about being happy. She's talking about the great favor she received in being the bearer of the human body of the incarnate Son of God. Kaya ang tinutukoy rito ay ang pinagpala, ang pinaburan, ang biniyayaan ng Diyos, which reminds us something about kingdom standards. In the kingdom of Christ, gracious favor comes first, which is opposite, as we shall see, to legalism. So, tingnan natin itong Beatitudes ng Sermon on the Mount. Titingnan ko muna o ipapakita ko muna ang mga sinabi. There are 7 Beatitudes in all. At tingnan natin ang mga ito as Beatitudes of Need and Beatitudes of Action, Beatitudes of Sensing Your Own Need, and then Beatitudes of Action to Others. Ang unang sinabi ay poor in spirit. Ikalawa ay blessed are those who mourn. Ang ikatlo ay blessed are the meek. And then ang tutukuyin ko na the central virtue ay hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Righteousness is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. Yun ang sinabi ng Panginoong Jesus. Kaya yan ang masasabi nating the central beatitude, the central virtue are people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then under beatitudes of action, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, and blessed are the peacemaker. Isa-isahin muna natin ito. Babalikan natin ang diagram na yun with more relatedness with each other. But in the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing is blessed are the poor in spirit. Sinong tinutukoy nito? To be poor in spirit means self-admission of spiritual bankruptcy outside of Christ, meaning you don't have your own merit, you don't have your own morality. Wala kang ipagmamalaki na yaman na maialay mo sa Diyos, sukat niyang tatanggapin. Eh ganyan ang legalismo. Legalism is talking about merits, what they have earned by their goodness and righteousness, whereas the people of the kingdom are poor in spirit because they admit that they are spiritually bankrupt outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said as much in the discourse concerning the vine and the branches in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, you are nothing. Eh, ganyan ang isang nasa kaharian ni Jesucristo at napapamahalaan niya, siya ay walang sariling kayamanan, walang sariling maipagmamalaki. He is poor in spirit. And then the second is that blessed are those who mourn. Who are those who mourn? This is referring to self-conviction of sinfulness. That is why it is sorrow for sin. Hindi sinasabing ang mga mananampalataya ay laging malungkot at laging nanlulumo, laging depressed, but rather there is that inner mourning for the reality of sin in one's life. And in reference to this sorrow, Apostle Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians that godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Pinagsalungat niya ang godly sorrow and worldly sorrow, and godly sorrow is good. And this is the mourning that Jesus is endorsing and commending in the Beatitudes, those who mourn. And then ang ikatlo ay blessed are the meek. Ano ang pagiging meek? Self-renunciation of assertive vindictiveness. Ito yung ayaw ilagay sa sarili niyang kamay ang paghihiganti. Kahit pa siya ay sinasaktan o minamaltrato, that is meekness, kaamuan. And the Bible makes it again very clear that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So as much as possible, iwas sa kaguluhan o sigalot na hindi naman makapagpapatibay at yan ang kaamuan. And then, ang kasunod ay, blessed are the merciful. Ito na ang may kinalaman sa ginagawa mo sa ibang tao. So, merciful means self-motion of compassion for the needy. And that includes the idea of dealing with those who are sinning. So, in Matthew 23:23, Jesus denounces the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees, yung kanilang hypocrisy, that they are so punctilious in matters of legalistic actions, but they are without mercy. At ang sinabi nga niya ay, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Eh, yan ang hinahanap ng mga nasa pamamahala ni Jesucristo. Hindi sila satisfied lang sa kanilang external duties. They want to be merciful to others. And then, ang kasunod ay, blessed are the pure in heart. Sinong tinutukoy ng pure in heart? This is self-mortification of false motives. Purity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Ang hypocrite ay ang may ginagawang tila tama sa panlabas pero ang panloob niyang mga motibo ay mali. Gusto niya lang makita ng tao para siya'y purihin. Ipinakita ito ni Jesus sa uri ng pananalangin ng mga pag-imbabaw. In Matthew 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So that's purity in heart, meaning in your motive. It's not for show. It's not to be seen, but rather in the privacy of your dealing with God, doon nakikita ang purity in heart sa iyong mga motibo ng ginagawa. And then, ang kasunod ay peacemaking, pakikipagpayapaan. And that means self-initiation to reconcile adversarial relations. Hindi mo hinahayaang manatili ang mga sigalot, ito man ay sa sarili mo o sa iba. At may ganitong binanggit ang Panginoon sa kanyang parable of the unmerciful servant, na matapos siyang patawarin ng malaki niyang pagkakautang at ang kanyang kapwa-alipin na mas maliit ang pagkakautang, hindi niya mapatawad. At ang sinabi doon sa parable of the unmerciful servant, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you. Ipinapakita rito that forgiveness is imperative in genuine peacemaking. Again, whether it is about you or trying to reconcile other people in adversarial relationship, there is the key of forgiveness as part of peacemaking. At ang pinaka-sentrong beatitude, gaya ng aking sinabi, the central virtue is hunger and thirst for righteousness. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about righteousness, and therefore this central beatitude concerns one's standing with God's law. Tandaan natin, ang mga scribe at pariseo ay naghahanap din ng tamang katayuan sa harap ng batas, pero sa kanilang paghahanap, nakikita nila ito sa sarili nilang pagkatuwiran, sa sarili nilang paggawa. Whereas right standing with God's law means for the believer who has accepted the rule of Christ is justification by faith in Christ alone. Tayo ay inaaring matuwid sa pamamagitan lang ng pananampalataya kay Hesukristo lamang. Ito ang masusing pinagtanggol ni Apostol Pablo in Romans 3:28. He summarizes this as, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified, that is, declared righteous by faith without the deeds of the law." Kaya yan ang kabaligtaran ng kingdom righteousness and legal righteousness. Kingdom righteousness is by faith in Christ alone, whereas legal righteousness is about the deeds of the law. Ngayon, tingnan natin muli ang struktura ng Beatitudes with now the benefit of those descriptions and definitions. The central virtue is to hunger and thirst for righteousness, that righteousness which is not about merit but about faith in Christ. And it is around this that we arrange the Beatitudes of need and the Beatitudes of action. So the first Beatitude is being poor in spirit, admission of one's bankruptcy. Wala kang maipagmamalaki sa harap ng Diyos. At kung ganyan ang iyong kalooban sa iyong sarili, ang magiging action mo sa iba, you will be merciful. Because if you are yourself bankrupt, and you are in need of Christ, not you cannot stand by yourself, you will be merciful towards others in their needs and even in their sins. Ang kalawa, to mourn. And as we have seen, mourning is sorrow for sin. And if one has sorrow for sin, then he will seek to have his heart be free from such sinful motives. So he will seek to renounce all hypocrisy and will do what he needs to do more than anything in the presence of God alone, regardless of the public attitude or demonstration. And then the third being meek, which is self-renunciation of assertive vindictiveness, and this explains why ang katapat niya ay to be a peacemaker. If a person is meek, renouncing vindication of self, then he wants to reconcile adversarial relations, including those with himself. So, diyan natin makikita the seven Beatitudes that are the standard of those who are under the rule of Christ. They seek to be such people who can be said to be graced by God. They are blessed. Kaya't makikita natin dito sa sinabi ng Apostol Pablo in Titus 2, this is how it appears in the pattern of holiness. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." And because the grace of God has appeared, yun ang nauna, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly possessions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Makikita natin ditong naunang kumilos ang biyaya ng Diyos, at dahil sa naunang pagdating ng biyaya ng Diyos ay meron itong paghubog sa pagiging banal at maka-Diyos dito pa lang sa panahong ito. Pansinin niyo yung "this present age," because the age to come has broken in. Even in this present age of sin and worldliness, we can live godly lives. Kaya dito, dahil hindi pa kumpleto ang ating pagkalubos sa kabanalan, mayroon pang may conflicts, merong paglalaban ang ating pagkatao. The kingdom standard is that God has been gracious to me. And because God has been gracious to me, we are seeking holiness out of gratitude. That is kingdom holiness. However, because we still have remaining sin, we are still prone to legalism. And legalism is that which thinks of earning God's favor. At alam niyong magiging kalalabasan ng ganyang legalismo, ay following rules out of fear o kaya out of boasting, and either way it is wrong. And the challenge for us is to stand your holiness upon the blessings of grace received. Be blessed according to those beatitudes that Jesus portrayed. Those who are under His rule are living out. Yan ang ating ipanghamon sa ating mga sarili, mga kapatid. Kaya sa ating buhay ng kabanalan ay siguruhin natin na namamahala sa atin si Jesucristo. At kung namamahala sa atin si Jesucristo, hindi kagaya ng mga eskriba at mga fariseo, nauna sa kanila ang sariling katuwiran, sariling gawa, sariling pagsunod para sa mga pinamamahalaan ng paghahari ni Jesucristo. Nauna ang kanyang pabor, nauna na ang kanyang biyaya kay Jesucristo, kung kaya naman ang kanyang magiging uri ng kabanalan ay nakatindig sa biyayang ibinigay ng Diyos kay Jesucristo. And that means seeking to live out the Beatitudes. Can it be said of us, blessed are you because you are pure in heart, because you are merciful, because you are meek, at iba pa. Ito ang mga bagay na pamantayan ng mga nagpapasakop sa pamamahala ng Panginoong Jesucristo. Suriin natin ang ating sarili na ganoon ang ating kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. At muli, pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Diyos Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.